Don't bet against a better team at home. I don't care who got it.
Three massages.
Oh, at least
Say at least one more time. You can't say stuff like this on podcasts, all right?
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Tuesday, December 15th, 2009. I'm your host, Adam Berry, and here to celebrate the end of the decade, two football writers, Phil Kegler.
Just glad I made it through.
And Kyle Maestri.
I like to think of myself as an all-decade Alligator writer. If there was going to be a team.
Yeah, sure. Right. I don't know where you'd fall in. You might be like the all-decade golf writer or something like that. You'll get demoted or whatever, but you're on the list. All right, since it is the end of the decade, this is our last, you know, live and in-person show. We're going to do some special stuff later on the end of the month here, but since we're here in our office, in our studio, we're going to do some do something special. Our all-decade teams, football and basketball, go over some of the greatest games, Kyle, that you had for us of this decade, do some bowl pick'em stuff, bring back Gators in the NFL by popular demand, and end with our decade-long Reggies and Kyles. So let's start off with the all-decade football teams. You guys did the legwork here. Where do you guys want to start for this?
Bill?
Just want to go position by position?
Yeah, that's probably the easiest way.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll say position, I say mine, you say yours. Let's go back and forth like that.
Great.
Great. Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Starting on offense.
Great. Me too.
Quarterback?
Nope. Phil's going to do offense. Kyle's going to do defense.
I've got Tim Tebow.
Same. Okay. Although I would like to throw a special shout-out to Rex Grossman. I mentioned it before Adam laughed, but as Defro always says, he probably should have won a Heisman.
Yeah.
Obviously didn't win the games that Tebow did, but Rex was very good. He'd be the second-team quarterback.
Certainly. He didn't will his team to victory,
which
Kyle.
Which is why we both have Tim Tebow as our first-team quarterback.
Yeah. Third team, Chris Leak?
Chris Leak would be the third-team
sure,
guy.
Yeah.
Have there been any other quarterbacks?
Jesse
Palmer's not good.
He'd be first-team bachelor contestant.
Yeah, or ESPN college analyst.
Yeah.
All right, running back, I'm going to let you go first here, Kyle.
Okay, I have Ernest Graham.
So do I.
Great, good pick, Phil.
Yes.
You know, something that I was talking to Adam about when I was trying to figure this out is, do you go for some of the older guys who got, like, a bunch of carries and put up the numbers, or some of the more recent guys who would put up the numbers if they got the carries, but the offense has obviously changed so much with Meyer here.
Struggle with the same
but
thing.
I went for performance. I didn't go for projection or hearsay, so I went with Ernest Graham.
Yeah, I think you have to go by performance, and Ernest Graham would have got it for me as well.
And Siatric Faison had one really good year here, too, that I was looking at. I think one of the best years individually.
I had him as my second running back.
There you go. All right.
Great.
Oh, you listed two running backs?
Yes.
I did not list two running backs.
Well,
would Faison have been yours?
Faison would have been mine, though, yeah.
There you go. All right.
Okay. Oh, did you do three wideouts?
I did.
Oh, okay. Well,
especially because the wide receiver pool is loaded.
It's a log jam. Yeah, let's go to wide receiver now, actually. I'm
curious.
Right,
Phil, go ahead. Right. You can start.
Well, Percy Harvin.
I, too, had Percy Harvin.
Okay. Second, since I only did two, I had Jabbar Gaffney. Hard selection, though.
I had Jabbar Gaffney. I think he just put up the most disgusting numbers of them all. I think he had, like, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and, like, over 20 touchdowns in those 2 years combined.
He was incredible.
So, all right, my third wide receiver, I went with Chad Jackson.
Yeah, not a bad pick. I'd probably have gone there if I went for third. Yeah.
So many other guys, though. Rashay Caldwell, Taylor Jacobs,
Andre
Caldwell, Dallas Baker, anybody?
Baker had a good year. I mean, there was
Murphy.
Lewis Murphy. I don't know about that.
He was a good player, but it might be the best of them in the NFL. But well, certainly. Besides Percy. Yeah. But, I think Chad had one really great year here. So I went with those three.
You guys didn't list Percy at the Percy position? You listed at wide receiver?
No, and I didn't list my wide receivers at X, Y, and Z. Because clearly I can't break down game film that well.
According to Chris Collinsworth, Percy Harvin played running back in Florida. So we don't know
what we're talking about. Exactly.
Yeah. He's just learning how to play receiver in the NFL right now.
He's doing a pretty good job of it for his first time.
All right. Well, tight end, I've got Aaron Hernandez.
I went Cornelius Ingram. Yeah. I had Hernandez at first, and then I talked myself out of it back into Ingram just because I feel like he was more unstoppable when he was healthy and he got most of his yards on non-pitch plays. So I went with Cornelius Ingram.
See, I was definitely dirty. I think if he hadn't got hurt 08, he would have, like, by far would have won because obviously he would have done a lot and Aaron wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah. But and he was just such a red zone threat. Like, it's kind of Aaron Hernandez, since he's not that big, isn't quite the red zone threat that C.I. was. Another guy I thought about.
You mean when they were good in the red zone?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Another guy I thought about, Ben Troop.
I love Ben
Had
Troop.
Had one really good year, but seemingly only one good year, so I left him off. But just a name to throw out there. A
couple good tight ends, yeah. I really like Ben Troop.
Yeah.
He'd be 13.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, where are we going? Where are we going from here?
Well, I'll go punt return, kick returner.
We don't want to go offensive line here.
No, let's go Brandon James.
Let's explain the offensive line situation to the listeners. Okay. It's really, really hard to measure offensive linemen that you haven't seen play or know very little about. So we couldn't really put together an accurate team, so we apologize to all former UF offensive linemen who maybe should have been on here.
Kenyatta Walker, if you're listening.
All you listeners who may be cheated by our list. So we went primarily with just guys that we've seen play and could evaluate over our time at the school the last 4 years, plus Max Starks, who Phil found.
Yeah, he's the starting left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, so we went Max Starks, and then I had both the Pouncies, Jason Watkins, and Phil Trotwine.
Yep, well, I put Marquise Pouncey and three blank spots, because that's how feel about these O-line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. Yeah. Mine's just like a list of guys I've seen, as I said. So we'll move on for
Just fighting the system.
We're sorry that we failed you. Yeah. And you want to go to special teams before we go to defense?
Well, I had the return specialist on offense, oddly, and the punter and kicker on defense.
Why would you do that, Phil?
All right, well, whatever. We'll roll with your crazy system. Go ahead.
So for punt return and kick return, I had Brandon James.
Okay, I said, screw you, Brandon James, and I went with Keewon Ratliff, mostly because I couldn't get him on the team on defense, and I wanted him on somehow. He's a good return guy here, too. Probably didn't have the numbers that James had, but James disappeared this year, and I hate him for that, so I went with Ratliff instead.
All right, well, moving on to defense, we both used a 4-3, I assume?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Nope.
I thought about going 3-4. Yeah. I really did, but no.
With all the linebackers, I think that would be hard.
For ends,
come on up and Joker.
I have Alex Brown.
Ditto. Alex Brown, single-season sack leader.
Yeah, great man. Actually, the first time I went through this, somehow I missed him that he played in this decade. Like, I don't know, somewhere I looked, like, didn't have him. I don't know. And then my second guy, very hard selection, I went Jarvis Moss.
I went Derek Harvey.
I had him, actually deleted him and put him off.
All right, probably between those two. Yeah. The defensive end pool was very good. Jermaine Cunningham's had a really nice career, I can't. But Harvey, I don't know. We watched Moss and Harvey play. I always feel like Harvey's a little more dominant. Maybe not, though.
But
Moss blocked the kick.
Blocked the kick. Moss has willed his team to victory.
Well, if we made a special teams unit, I'd put him on kick block.
All right. D-tackle?
D-tackle, very difficult. Something very hard for us to read and watch and stuff. We had Gerard Warren.
He was our, like, no-doubt guy. Like, Warren's pretty much going to be on anyone's list. And then we didn't really know what to do with the second defensive tackle.
We went Marcus Thomas, but both I don't of us really feel great about
He's in the
that.
NFL.
Yeah,
I mean, he was pretty good.
He was good here.
He did use drugs too many times.
McDonald played end, right?
Yeah.
Marcus Thomas, whatever.
We could just run the Joker.
That's what I said. You just run three ends. Yeah, and you just rotate them in and out. Then you can get Derek Harvey in there and Jarvis Moss both.
All right. I'll let you start the linebackers over there, Kyle.
Okay. I will start with the worst one of the three, randomly. Channing Crowder made my third spot.
I have him.
You have him as well. All right. Second, it doesn't really matter which order these two go in. I'm sure we have the same. I have Brandon Seiler.
Yes.
And Brandon Spikes.
I left Brandon Spikes off.
That is outrageous. What?
Who's on yours?
He disappeared this year, and it still bothers me.
I mean, he didn't have a good year this year. I'd argue he was
probably the best player on the best defense in school history last year.
Well, put Earl Everett up there.
You put Earl Everett over Brandon Spikes. Well, the good thing about this system, we're open ballot, unlike other All-American teams. Yes. Phil's an idiot, so...
Everybody can judge that for themselves.
Earl Everett? Ryan Stamper is better than Earl Everett. Me and Bobby have this fight all the time.
I can't stand for that, Phil.
I agree with this. Do you see Ryan Stamper in the SC Championship game?
Right
on the SI cover.
I feel like Andre Davis is
I thought about Andre Davis as my fourth guy, actually.
Andre Davis was not in my pool. I won't.
Earl Everett was.
Earl Everett? All right, well, made one you're all about, like, signature moments. You're everything that's wrong with voting. You block a kick. You tackle Troy Smith with your helmet off.
That's all that matters. I know nothing else. Didn't lead the team in tackles when you're
good for him.
Yep.
I'm sure a lot of guys, random guys, have led the team in tackles for 1 year. Anyway.
Corner.
On to the cornerbacks. I think we have the same two, but go ahead.
There's a chance we don't, but I have...
Pretty sure we do. All
right. I have Lito.
Same.
And late change. Oh. I don't feel great about this. Uh-oh. Went Vernell Brown over Hayden.
I went Joe Hayden.
You went Joe Hayden.
I couldn't leave Joe Hayden. No. He's been so good over his career. Started since the day he came in.
Three-year starter.
The cornerback position's loaded, though, too. You had Ratliff that you could have put on there. Yeah. Janoris Jenkins has been really good his 2 years
one
here.
One more
so.
Year, definitely. Yeah. Probably would have got him on, but...
All right.
Well, I'm going to say one safety we definitely both have.
Reggie Nelson.
I drew a blank on the second one, so you're just going to be outraged by mine.
Oh, no.
Where'd you go?
I went back, way back. Okay, I hit the way back machine. Bobby's childhood hero, Todd Johnson.
okay.
Early 2000s player, had a couple really good years. I think 1 year he led the team in tackles and had like 5 interceptions. Sure. I think he was a 3-year starter, so he had a nice career here.
Yeah, I couldn't feel worse about him on a safety pick.
You're going to say it.
You didn't say Tony Joyner.
I know what you're going to say.
Amari Blount!
Oh, no!
Oh. What? Phil. Oh, my God.
Oh, Phil, no.
He's an ever in 08.
He did not.
The anchor of the defense.
This is unbelievable.
I mean, he had a good year last year.
Tony Joyner never stood out enough to me to get on my list.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But he's one step less ridiculous than Ahmad Black. I don't know.
Wow.
All right, Adam. Phil, you keep quiet. Are you more outraged that he put Ahmad Black on or that he left Brandon Spikes off?
That he left Brandon Spikes off.
Okay, that's the most outrageous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 1 and 1A.
There's one thing we can count on Phil for, to be crazy, and he certainly brought it on this
I bring
one.
It.
Yeah, yeah, well done.
All right,
what's left? You got kicker and punter?
Henry.
Nice.
We have all the same here.
Okay.
Punter.
And Matt Leach as kicker.
Ditto.
Nice.
Kind of surprising. I feel like Florida should have more good kickers. Like, it's just like they just don't care.
They had a few good ones. Jeff Chandler kicked here. I think they had one other guy, too, who's pretty solid.
Yeah, now it's been like a while.
But you look back like the last kickers. Yeah, you look back the last couple years.
What's his face was good until he had like Chuck Knobloch system syndrome. Chris Hetland.
Hetland.
He was like all SEC kicker, and then he just forgot how to kick a field goal. So
Jonathan Phillips was a Lou Groza semifinalist of the preseason, not the starter at the end of the year.
Well, Sturgis was one at the end of the year. Right?
All I know.
Not a finalist, on the list. Semifinalist.
Chaz Henry better leave Florida with a Ray guy.
That's all we got to say.
What's his name? Is Butler? What's
I
his
hope
name
they launch
Georgia
a Ray
gone?
Guy campaign. Drew Butler.
Is he gone next year? He's
going to
open it up for
I know they're boys. I don't know if they... I don't know if he's leaving.
They're in the putting fraternity.
Yeah. Well, I think they're both from Georgia, and they know each other and stuff. So, anyway.
All right. Well, let's move on. That's the football team. Let's go and do our all-decade basketball team.
Well, I'm sure to outrage Kyle some more here.
Probably. Right. This, could not have been easier to get, like, 12 guys. I don't know if we're going to – what do we want to do here? Because this is going to break my heart if we have to cut it down to 10.
I mean, I only did 10. I actually did.
Oh, no.
You got to play by the rules, Barry.
Oh, no. All right.
You're going to have to make some tough decisions.
All right. Do we want to do our starters first?
Yeah. I say the way I did my team, I know some people probably did this differently. I did a starting lineup, so guys I could throw out there. And then my bench, I just did best available. I didn't care about getting like a backup at every position. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I just made my final cut. It was painful. I'll do my starters first. I had Nick Calathes, Mike Miller, Corey Brewer, Joakim Noah, and Al Horford.
Mine's very similar. I thought about going with that lineup, putting Miller or Brewer at the two, having the biggest lineup of all time. But I went slightly different. I just went Calathes, and I had Humphrey. I left him in at shooting guard just because he's just a lights-out shooter. Probably the best shooter Florida's ever had.
Yeah.
And then I went Brewer, Horford, Noah in the front court.
Right, I like Humphrey coming off the bench. He's just going to come in and just make it rain from
here
three.
Here comes the outrage.
All right, great.
First of all, as a slight disclaimer, I'll say that Mike Miller did not make my team because he played in the 99-2000 season, and a half season in 2000 was not enough to get on my
How
list
about
as an
three
all-decade.
Quarters of a season
three quarters
and
of
a championship
season.
Game run.
3 months.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The championship game run was enough for me. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that got him in for
Starting
me.
Point guard Nick Calathes, shooting guard Matt Walsh, small forward Corey Brewer, power forward Al Horford, center Udonis Haslam.
Matt Walsh starting shooting guard?
Yes.
That's so outrageous.
Wow.
All right, anyway, I can't believe you cracked your starting lineup. He's not even on my team.
I'm not – yeah, he was one of my first two cuts from my bench.
Other thing I'm completely surprised about is that I really thought one of you two guys, mostly Phil, was just going to be like, can't break up the 0-4s. Like, that starting lineup gets the starting lineup.
Like,
I'm not taking Green
like
out for Calathes.
Because I was like – I didn't want to do that kind of, so I was like working against that.
Yeah, I contemplated replacing Humphrey with Calathes and just calling it a day, but logic got the better of me, and as it turned out, I left one of the 0-4s off the team. Yeah, who is it? Torian Green.
And I will say, in my system, I didn't want to put Roberson in because I thought he only played point guard, and I was doing the by-position thing, so I'm retarded, apparently.
Okay.
So you'll see that Anthony Roberson's my backup point guard. It was very tough.
Mm.
All right.
Well, in my bench.
So you don't have Green on your team at all?
No.
Okay. Yeah, well,
shockingly.
Let's see what happens when we get through this.
Yeah. All right. Well, my bench then, I go with Roberson, Lee Humphrey, and then just an NBA starting front court, Matt Bonner, David Lee, Udonis Haslam.
Very nice.
Those are two incredible front courts. It's ridiculous.
Mine's pretty similar to yours again. I have Torian Green, Then I have a bunch of big men. I have Mike Miller, who can play a couple different positions. And then I have Bonner, Haslam, and David Lee. I thought about putting David Lee in the starting lineup, but I didn't want to break up the Joe Kim Noah Al Horford tandem.
I put Lee as backup. It was really hard. But I thought Lee's gotten a lot better in the NBA than he necessarily was in college. It was tough.
I wrestled with that.
He's probably a better pro than he was at college.
So when I was looking back, I was like, I can't put him over Al Horford. And my backups, because I try to stick by position, backup point guard Anthony Roberson, backup shooting guard Lee Humphrey, backup small forward, this is a bit of a twist, Matt Bonner, backup power forward David Lee, backup center Joe Kim Noah. The Haslam Noah thing was really, really tight for me. It was tough. And, I feel not very good at all about Torian Green not making it, but the way I did it, because I hadn't talked to you guys before we got to the show, is I did two deep at each position.
But even that being said, you think Roberson's better than Green?
I think he's a better player. I think he's a better player here,
Well, I can't agree.
I know that's if you'd put Green on a team where he could, he could have scored more or whatever, he was just the facilitator, for the most part, but...
He was the leading scorer on those teams, which would surprise a lot of people.
Really?
Yep. On at least one of them, and I think both. You could check it.
Really?
I've had this talk with other ones of my
scoring
friends.
Scoring what? Per
game.
Per game, yeah. No, no, I mean, what did he score per game?
Oh, 13 and a half, somewhere in that range. None of them scored.
That's the thing. Nobody had to score.
No,
like
and he probably
plus.
Did it by less than half of a point. Yeah. But I'm just.
But everybody was in that cluster together.
Right.
He was just the least impressive to me of the group.
Fair,
I don't know.
I know a lot of my friends love Torian Green. Say he was the most important player on those teams, which I don't agree with. But I mean, I think it's a slightly outrageous for Green to not make your team.
It's very outrageous. But
okay.
I'm not comfortable with it.
If I would have just done a random five bench, he would have made it.
Right. Okay. Who would you have cut?
Over
Matt Walsh.
No, probably. No.
Of course not.
Well, Matt Walsh was in the starting five.
Yeah, so hoping you'd come to your senses.
Matt Bonner,
and some people.
I guess it would have been really close. Ooh,
Matt Bonner's a stud here.
I love
Matt
Lee Bonner.
Lee Humphrey or Matt Bonner, it would have been one of those two.
I couldn't take Humphrey off just because what he brought to the table. Just that three-point shooting is incredible. Everybody needs that kind of guy.
Great shooter. Great shooter.
Yeah, the two guys I left off that were the hardest for me, just why I wanted to go 12, were Green and Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh, he's definitely not worthy of a starting spot on this all-decade team, but... It was tough for me to take him off.
Right. Fair enough.
All right. Well, that's it for the all-decade teams. We're going to move on here to a whole different topic still relating to the celebration of the 2000s.
Okay, so our next order of business. I've switched chairs with Adam Berry into the host chair.
Literally. Yeah.
And ESPN released an all-decade rank 'em system for the all-decade games, which is they gave you 25 games over the course of the decade, and they give it to you in reverse chronological order, and they want you to rank them. And I just thought these games were, perfectly selected. I'd have to see, the ones that just missed the cut, I guess, to have an opinion on whether or not they did it right. But all these games, for the most part, I'd say probably 20 of the 25 games are just games I would watch, if I went home and, they were on TV.
If it was on Classic, great game.
Exactly. So, all right, what I want to do... In the process of ranking them, part of it is just, how memorable they are to you, obviously. So, I'm just going to throw out one of the games in reverse order from how I ranked them personally. And then, I just want to see what you guys have to say about them. So, I want you to give me, a sentence, two at the most, just on what happened. So, that's just kind of testing your memory. So, we'll see, what sports fans remember from these kind of games. You guys haven't seen them yet. Don't give me emotion or anything. You can a little bit, I guess, but I just want to know what happened in the game. I tell you the game, you say, oh, that was this game. All right.
Kegs,
sounds good.
You ready, Kegs?
All right. So the first one was the 2003 Tour de France, which was Lance Armstrong, and it was a specific stage. I think it was that he won stage five or something. I didn't remember this one at all, which is why it came in last on my list. Do you guys have any recollection of this?
That wasn't when he crashed, was it?
I don't honestly know.
Okay. Yeah, the Tour de France,
I assume it was one of those where he made some outrageous comeback.
Yeah.
But an early stage is weird. I thought you were going to say it was one of
the mountain
stages,
because
he had some of those ride through the mountains where he was just like, hi, I'm the best cyclist ever.
Yeah, where he just goes nuts. Yeah. No, all those just sort of run together to me, like all the Lance Armstrong Tour de France. So.
Yeah, they don't like specifically stick out.
I mean, you could
also,
bring.
Also, because I never watched them, I just watched
you just,
the highlights.
No, yeah, you see the results, yeah. You could tell me the.
It was the one where he crashed, so good memory, Adam. Okay. It was stage 15, not stage 5, and it was 2003 Tour de France. I guess Armstrong went down. Got stage back up. won the stage.
You're never going to keep him down.
Okay, that's so crazy.
Stage 15, would that be one of the mountain ones? I feel like that's usually like 13, 14, right there in the middle. In the middle of the pack.
But I don't think he crashed in the mountains. It goes in and out of the mountains. But I think like his like crash part was like.
It was up a steep mountain, okay. It says in the description.
Not very memorable.
Either way, we struggled very much to remember that. Adam did the best, clearly, out of the three of us, so that's why I came in last on my rankings.
That's fair.
Certainly. But, all right, before that is the 2000 PGA Championship involving Tiger Woods in a playoff. Do you guys have any recollection of this? Because I did
2000?
Not. 2000? 2000.
Jeez, I would have just... I would have been a young boy of 11 years old.
Could you even tell me who he beat in the playoff?
Damn, I mean, 2000 would have been like Duval back then. I don't even know.
Yeah, it was.
Hold, give me 1 second.
All right.
That was not the round with the chip in, right?
No, it was Bob May is who he beat in the playoff. So I don't know. I think he maybe he shot a 66 on Sunday, so he obviously like had a great final round, come back, forced the playoff, and then won it. But not one of the. Probably not one of the two or three most memorable Tiger performances for me, obviously, as I couldn't even come up with this. None of us could.
Last 2 weeks have been the most memorable Tiger performance for me.
I mean, it hurts. Like, I think I'm going to remember less things from when I was 12, even if they were slightly memorable.
Yeah, that even if they were bigger. Yeah,
like,
I agree.
It's not necessarily the length ago. It's just that I was, like, 12. Like, I think I'll remember more things now, 10 years from now, than...
Yeah, absolutely. But there would definitely be games on here from... circa that time, you'll remember.
Yeah.
All right, 2003, or I'm sorry, the 23rd thing on my list, I went 2005, NLDS, Game 4. Jesus. It was Braves and Astros. You guys have any recollection of this? Or that series even happened?
I remember the series. Okay. I do not remember.
Clemens was on the Astros that year. They made the World Series that year.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either. I have no recollection of this game. It was apparently good. I think it may have been an extra inning game. So, again, bottom of the list. Okay. This 22nd one I went was 2005 NBA Finals, Game 5. This was Pistons and Spurs. And the Spurs ended up winning by
overtime,
one.
Right?
Overtime game. You guys remember this one at all?
I don't remember what happened. I do remember there was overtime. And that series was actually a little bit better than I gave it credit for being. I hated the Pistons. I hated those Spurs teams. Like, I hated that series existed. But I remember that one was, like, surprisingly not disappointing.
Well, it went to 7 games. Yeah. And this was coming off of the Pistons win? Or no? Was it 2 years later?
In 05, I think they won later, yeah. Right?
I think, did they win in 2004 or did they win earlier than that? 2002. I think they did too. So this was coming off the Pistons win, and so you thought maybe they could repeat, but they got knocked off. I don't remember hardly anything from that game except that it was an overtime, so I had towards the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2000 Eastern Conference Semis, Game 4. This is a hockey game. This is between the Pittsburgh Penguins and a team I don't remember, but let me bring it up.
Jeez, I probably would have had this one.
Penguins and Flyers. Yep. Flyers won 2-1. The only reason I remember the Penguins was because the goalie, Ron Tugnutt, had 70 saves in a loss for the Penguins.
What was the final score, 1-0?
It was 2-1, Flyers. Jeez. So that's,
he let up 2 goals.
That's the only reason I have any recollection of this, but that's literally all I remember. It's almost like a trivia question.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember watching it or anything. I just remember he had 70 saves.
That's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I didn't watch hockey in that era except for like the Lightning win.
That's funny. Right, I just don't watch hockey.
All right, so that one's towards the bottom. Then I have 2008 Texas versus Texas Tech.
Everybody
this game, right?
This holds a special place in my heart. Yeah. Ain't no one in the country can man up on Crab.
Just give a sentence about it. Everybody knows it, but one
this
is
this was the Crabtree catch at the end of the game, right, where you took it into the end zone.
I hate it because I didn't get to watch it. Still to this day, I'm not got to.
That's one of those where, like, I can remember. What was that on the Florida Georgia?
Florida Georgia. Yeah. Game. Oh wait, yeah, I remember everything about it, including not watching it because everybody texted me. My phone blew up. I saw, like, the highlight. I was like, well, wish I could have watched that.
Yeah, it's funny. I can remember, like, where I was when I was watching that catch. Like, I was sitting on the floor. Like, I don't know. It was a very memorable experience, that game. That one probably would have been higher for me, honestly.
Well, it was an incredible game, but the implications were so low compared to the other games that I just left it low. Like, I couldn't. It was just a regular season college football game at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So
had Texas gone on to play for the national championship, maybe.
Or had Texas Tech. Propelled Texas Tech in the national championship, we could talk about it. But ultimately, you know, it didn't have a big impact.
Yeah.
Okay, so my next game after that was the 2005 Champions League Finals. Do you guys remember this at all?
Just that I remember, like, when I hear 2005 Champions League Final, I say, that was a good game. Literally, like, that's all I remember.
No.
Okay. This was Liverpool versus AC Milan. AC Milan was heavily, heavily favored. They jumped out to a 3-0 lead by halftime. Okay. And then Liverpool scored three goals in 6 minutes. I think, like, minute 54 to 60 or something like that. Went into a shootout. Liverpool won in a shootout. It was, like, a huge upset. And they came back from a 3-0 deficit. So it's considered, like, one of the best Champions League finals, like, ever. Hmm. But I didn't remember much from it, just that I remember Liverpool pulled a huge upset. I had to look up the details a little bit later. But, again, championship event, it was pretty big. So, all right. And then going back one before that, 2002 Western Conference Finals, Lakers and Kings. Yeah. You guys have any recollection of
Lakers
this?
Lakers came back from a big deficit, right, to win?
I don't know if they did in that game. I think it was back and forth the whole game. But this was coming off the heels of the officiating disaster in game six. And it was like the last, like, Lakers-Kings game. Like, they had played three straight years in the playoffs. Lakers won every year.
This was the Kings' last chance, basically.
Right. And it was the Kings' year to win, the officiating thing.
They'd already gotten screwed out of it.
Tough game seven, so.
Those Lakers dynasties, yeah. Yeah, that was hotly contested, I remember, just coming back from game six, which, like, the free throw discrepancy was off the charts.
No, I'm sure the Kings were winning for part of the game, but I don't know how much they were winning. I think they were. No, I think you're right. Just watch this on Classic. They were down like 10 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
And the Kings were like, how do we just lose because we were winning by 10 in a game we had to win?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right about that. Okay.
That's two games in a row they should have won there, then, to win the series.
Going back, number 17 is the 2006 AFC Championship. This is Pats and Colts. Do you guys remember anything about that?
It's Peyton Manning got the monkey off his back, right?
It is Peyton Manning gets the monkey off his back game. Good job, Adam.
Wins the Super Bowl.
Yep, he couldn't beat the Patriots until then, got over the hump, and they went on one. Super Bowl.
Oh, big game for Tony Dungy, too. I love Tony Dungy.
All right. Going back one more is 2003 ALCS Game 7.
The Aaron Boone home run.
The Aaron Boone home run. Yeah. 100% correct. Yeah. Yankees Red Sox. Aaron Boone takes Tim Wakefield deep, and Aaron bleeping Boone hits the home run. 2003, Marlins got it done, though, so screw you guys.
Yeah.
All right, number 15, 2008 NBA Finals Game 4, Celtics
comeback,
Lakers.
Right?
The Celtics comeback.
Oh, jeez, that was the huge comeback. Yeah. I was like, well, Lakers got this.
Yeah,
20 plus points.
I think it was
24,
maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Lakers had a chance to, like, swing some momentum in the series, even it up, and the Celtics just came back and really put them away in that game. All right, going back to number 14. 2009 Big East quarterfinals game, Syracuse-UConn.
Six overtime game. Yeah,
I
love this
game. So that was, the game everybody remembers. It just happened. Yeah. Johnny Flynn plays like 65 minutes or whatever it was.
At the end, they were just like walking the ball up the court, just heaving it up. Like, still a little energy at the end of that game. But, you know, just because it was six overtimes and it was so close. Right. Like a shot from half court sent it into another overtime. It was an incredible game.
All right, 2003 Fiesta Bowl, which is Miami Hurricanes and Ohio State Buckeyes.
Oh, okay. It was the 2002 season, right?
You guys remember what happened in that game?
Craig Krenzel.
Pass interference call in the end zone. Pretty much all you need to know about that game. Miami should have won.
Outrageous call ever.
Kyle Mainstreet is still a Canes fan at the time. Absolutely heartbroken.
That was the worst call ever.
It really was a terrible call, but we'll move on.
Bad officiating, marking these.
Willis McGahee got hurt in that game, right?
The curse of Willis McGahee began.
Willis McGahee, flamingo leg game.
That's right. I love that game.
All right, 2006 NCAA regional finals, George Mason, UConn.
Oh yeah,
everybody remembers this game.
Just because it was George Mason, yeah. The Cinderella.
The game that put them into the Final Four. One of the biggest upsets in college basketball history, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 11, 2007 Fiesta Bowl.
Is that
the game? Boise State, Oklahoma.
God, what didn't happen in that game? Like that game was awesome. The running back pass, the Statue of Liberty, the proposal.
It's almost as, as if Adam has read the descriptions. Cause I think the lead was something like the game that had everything or something like that. Like literally, so everything happened in this game.
Oh, God.
I didn't have it that high just because, I mean, 11's pretty high, but I didn't have it at the top just because it wasn't a championship game. It had no championship implications.
In terms of impact, like, that's low, but God, I love that game so much.
Great, great game. All right, number 10, 2008 NCAA championship. That's Kansas and Memphis.
DeMario Chalmers 3. And Memphis,
not fouling when you're up three.
And Memphis can't make free throws.
Yep. All right, number 9, 2004 ALCS, game 4. Yankees,
Dave
Red
Roberts,
Sox,
steals
Dave Roberts,
base.
Steals second base and alters the course of history.
I don't remember who hit him in, but...
Yeah, I don't either, but the ultimate monkey off your back game for anyone.
Yeah.
2009 Super Bowl, which was the one we just watched, Steelers-Cardinals.
Yeah.
Great.
What biggest thing you remember from that game?
The Jerome Harrison.
Both are good choices. Yeah. Both are talked about
the
a lot
pick
this
six.
Game. The Jerome Harrison end of the first half.
Corner of the end zone.
Catch in the end zone.
Yeah.
After dropping a pass to win the game.
Yep. That throw was a little tough. But yeah, okay. We go with the drop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 2008 U.S. Open. Tiger Woods prominently involved. Yes. What do you guys remember from this?
Was this when he was hurt?
Yes.
The leg? The broken knee?
This is a leg injury.
Oh, yeah.
In the 18-hole playoff on Monday.
That's right.
There you go. Okay. So that made number 7 for me because that was just super memorable, like the most memorable tournament for me for Tiger Woods of a great player. So, all right, number 6, 2001 World Series Game 7.
Diamondbacks
Yankees.
Luis Gonzalez hits it in. Luis Gonzalez, who was undoubtedly on steroids, by the way. Go back and look at him. He was jacked.
Luis Gonzalez bloops one over the infield.
Oh, wow.
And Diamondbacks win.
Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling both pitched in that game.
Co-MVPs.
Co-MVPs, yeah.
All right. Number 5 on my list, 2008 Olympics, 100-meter butterfly.
Mike Phelps, I'm sure.
.01, the wall touch, the most ridiculous win I've probably ever seen.
Every time they slow it down and replay it, it's just more outrageous. He's literally behind, and he takes 2 strokes to try and get in the wall before the other guy. I don't really like his name.
And this is one
Frenchman?
Cabbage? No, absolutely not.
Okay.
He's Serbian, I believe.
Ah.
But he goes, or maybe the Serbians protested this, so we had to.
Wasn't it the French ones who were just trash talking the whole time? Like, you know,
that
the
was
Americans
in the relay.
Okay, that was a relay.
All right, so this guy was a different a-hole. So he is trash talking
a French a-hole.
No, he wasn't French. So, I think his name might have been Michael also. But anyway. Huh. This is like one of the events that you can just watch on Classic and you know what happens and you still think it's going to go the other way. It's like, oh, he's going to lose this time. So that was my number 5. Number 4, 2008 Wimbledon.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody,
Federer and
Nadal.
Yeah.
I think this game, I was thinking about this, as far as being well played, like greatness on greatness, this would be number 1. If that was the only criteria where it was just like two great teams or individuals going against each other. This is like, you can't do any better than this.
Big rain delay in the middle. They played up until night.
Yep, which allowed me to watch it because I was sleeping, of course. All right, my number 3 is the 2007 Super Bowl. You guys remember this one?
Oh, David Tyree, right?
David Tyree.
Oh, yeah, Giants pass.
Giants pass.
Yeah.
I was trying not to give you the team.
I had to process back to like 07, 07. Right. When was that? Yeah, that was Patriots didn't go 19-0. Miami Dolphins broke out the champagne. Those clowns.
All right, now this is super controversial that I had this game this high, which I want to talk about in a second too. 2002 Super Bowl. Do you remember the teams that I'm giving it to you? I know it gets fuzzy with the Super Bowls.
Titans reaching for the end zone.
That was
99. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That on every time.
This is.
Oh, is this Rams-Pats?
Rams-Pats. The
Beating
first
the
win.
Show on
yeah.
Show.
Yes. This is the first win for the Patriots that sparked the dynasty. Everything fell into place after this.
Yeah.
All right. So this is controversial. I'll go back to why I had that at number 2. Okay. Number one, 2006 Rose Bowl. This is my number one. This was also number one by all the fans on ESPN.
Yeah, it's the greatest game ever played.
Probably the greatest game ever played in the history of in my lifetime of sporting events. It was Vince Young taking down USC, tearing down a dynasty.
Running into the corner of the end zone.
Corner of the end zone, yeah.
Mere seconds left.
Yep.
All right.
Vince Young versus Trojans.
So if you guys had to make like a top three, what would your guys' top three games be?
Ooh, jeez.
I would have the number one the same. I'd have the Vince Young Rose Bowl. Two,
so would I.
I would have the Wimbledon final. And
I'm totally okay
three,
with that.
I think I would go Phelps and the butterfly, but it'd be really close. Like,
not bad. Whew. All games, all things I had in my top five.
I would do Rose Bowl, Federer, Nadal, and the Giants Super Bowl.
Okay.
Just because in terms of what that meant historically, like it broke up a 19-0 season, and like the helmet catch, we're going to be talking about that to our grandkids.
Okay.
So
now, I'm glad that you said the Giants Super Bowl, because initially I had that as my number two game, and then I caught myself, because I think this is a really good example of how recent history becomes the most impressive history to all of us. I wrote a Facebook note previous to the Giants Super Bowl where I said the Giants would win by three. And my reasoning was because it's the exact same game as the Patriots-Rams 2002 Super Bowl. The similarities include both teams lost their best player previous to this run. Tiki Barber retired for the Giants, and Drew Bledsoe went injured for the Patriots.
Right.
Arguably the best receiving threat for both teams was on the sideline. Terry Glenn was like having a holdout thing. They sat him out, and Jeremy Shockey was hurt for the Super Bowl. Both teams were big underdogs against a team who won a Super Bowl exactly 2 years ago. The 0-1 Rams had the best offense in the league, as did the 0-7 Patriots. They also both had regular season MVP quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Kurt Warner. Both the 0-1 Pats and the 0-7 Giants lost their first two games of the season and went on to win the Super Bowl. Neither team had any superstars. The one biggest memory I have from the Patriots game is the Patriots running out of the tunnel as a team without introductions.
Yeah.
I remember watching that because I remember thinking, like, it played into the whole, like, underdog thing. It was like, they have nobody good. Like, they're not supposed to be here. They're coming out as a team.
That
like,
was 0-2, right? So it went too long after September 11th. It was a whole, like, everybody's a Patriot and, like, you know, we're all together.
And the Giants was the same thing. They only had one Pro Bowler on their roster from the 2007 Super Bowl team.
Wow.
And then I wrote that both teams ended up winning with a great defense and a young quarterback, Eli Manning and Tom Brady at the time. So that's what I had. For me, it's a perfect example. Pretty much the same game. I know the Patriots were undefeated, and then you had like a super signature play in the David Tyree catch. But for me, it was just like literally 2007 was 2002, just happening over again with pretty much just two different teams. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but
yeah, you can make the argument for your case in that it also sort of established a little bit of a dynasty in terms, and while removing what could have been another dynasty in the Rams,
right?
But for me, it's the whole breaking up the perfection thing, and that's, I mean, I certainly see your point. It's a very good point, and I'm terrified by the similarities between those two, but. Yeah, I just think the significance of breaking up 19-0 was pushing over the edge for me.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same. That would give the edge. I would put it just above. Like I would put the Giants just above the Pats over the Rams.
Okay.
Although I did really like the game, and also because the Rams offense was like, I mean, I'm sure I'd be interested to see their point total in the season versus the Patriots of 7 total, because I know Patriots put up so many points. But like, I just remember the greatest show on turf, like freaking Kurt Warner, man, and. Was it Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce,
Azazir Hakeem?
The running back was Marshall Faulk.
Right. Ricky Prohl.
The Patriots, those seven Patriots, they scored the most points in league history.
Yeah, they broke the records those Rams set.
Actually, it may have been the Vikings that had the record. The Randy Moss, Chris Carter, Randall Cunningham teams.
Right.
It was one of those two, though. But anyway, all right, so that was one thing I found interesting about doing this whole ranking thing, in addition to just all these games that were like taking me back.
Yeah.
But, all right, now, the other thing is, once you got the Sports Nation poll, which is like everybody else's, their top three games are all college football games.
Well,
it's the Rose Bowl, it's the 2007 Fiesta Bowl, Boise and Oklahoma, and it's the 2003 Fiesta Bowl, Miami and Ohio State.
Well,
wow.
The fact that that's above and the Tex match and the
yeah.
Butterfly
and
outrageous.
Texas Tech is number six. So, if I didn't realize how college football crazed America is, this just really was a shocker for me.
I will say, I can't say where I would have it without ranking them all, but I would probably have Texas Tech, Texas higher than 20.
Okay. Would it make your top 10?
No. I don't think so. It would be right on the cusp, I think. It would be like from 9 to 11, probably.
It might have been in my top 15, wouldn't be top 10. I'm kind of surprised that 2003 Fiesta Bowl, the Miami Ohio State one, is that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, I think.
The thing about the 2007 Fiesta Bowl is that it's kind of like, oh, it's Boise State. It's kind of like, it's kind of niche in that regard. Like, oh, look, a small school coming in doing big things, but.
It was really good. It was in overtime, maybe double OT.
What, the?
The Miami Ohio State game.
Yeah, it went into overtime. It's the only championship game that's needed overtime.
And the pass interference call. I don't know.
No, it was, yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's think it's a little ridiculous, and also
where's Federer Nadal?
Federer Nadal is at number 11, which is ridiculous,
behind Syracuse, UConn.
That's ridiculous.
That's impossible.
But also, predictably, the Champions League and the hockey game are the last two teams, just because of the country. Nobody watches
them. No,
but I don't know. I just find it. One of my big criteria was that it had some kind of championship implications. I just don't understand how the Texas Tech game can be number 6. I don't know. It was a great game, but great regular season games happen all the time.
I mean, recent memory, college football, it's that time of the year. Like, you know, everybody's still hyped up in college football mode coming up with the the Bulls. I like to do this kind of poll in, like, the middle of the summer. Just, like, let everybody cool down from college football, like, calm everybody down, and sort of go back and take a look at this, because I can't stand for that being number 6.
Yeah, I think that's way too high. And there's, like, I don't know, it's just really interesting to see how everybody votes. The Michael Phelps thing did get a lot of love. That was number 4. But that about wraps it up for this segment. I'll let Adam return to hosting. But go on ESPN, check this out. It's really cool. You can read descriptions from all the different writers who were there and just their take on the game, you know, however many years later.
All right, now we're going to go through through all the College Bowl mania here. We're going to pick who we think is going to win each of the, 34 bowl games. And in true ESPN style, we're going to do it with confidence points out of 34, 34 being the most, 1 being the least. Let's just start from the beginning. Fresno State versus Wyoming in the what bowl is this, Kyle? What bowl are we looking at here?
Fresno State. Okay, it is the New Mexico Bowl.
Oh.
Fresno State versus Wyoming.
All right.
Okay.
I had this a lot higher on my list than I thought.
Yeah, so did I.
Got a lot of faith in Fresno State. Go Bulldogs.
So do I.
All right, great. Well, anyone want to break the ice here? Right. I'm picking Fresno State to win.
All right.
And I gave them 22 confidence points.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this going back, but I have Fresno State for 30 points.
Wow.
I'm about to stop that. All right. Let me just go ahead and say up front. My confidence points... I just put them every which way. I did not thoroughly go through this yet. I'll probably go back through, but this is a rough outline. 33 confidence points at Fresno State.
So that's your second.
My second.
Highest
we'll
game.
Be coming back to this one later when we talk about this.
I don't think Wyoming is very good.
No, I don't
they're
either.
A joke.
But how much do we really know about Fresno State?
Ryan Matthews.
Just enough.
Going to run for 500 yards.
All right. There's a Matthews on the team.
Take it to the bank. Ryan Matthews, 500 yards rushing.
All right,
next game.
All right, UCF. Versus Rutgers in the Knights Bowl, UCF Knights.
St. Petersburg Bowl.
Yeah.
St. Petersburg Bowl, correct.
They're both the Knightsville.
I get it.
All right.
One's scarlet, one's black.
All right, Phil, want to start this one off?
Yep. I got Rutgers for 18.
Oh, God, I don't know what I was doing with my confidence points. I said Rutgers for 32. I think UCF's
Holy
a joke.
Crap. I have Rutgers for 24. So we're all,
up there.
Yeah.
All right, next
up.
I
think the Knights aren't that bad. Or the Black Knights.
See? It's confusing.
The Knights at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, they're probably what they are.
They're not. They're just the Knights. Yeah, they're drafted,
Knights,
but they were the Golden,
Golden
Knights.
Knights.
At no point were they the Black Knights.
Army. God, watching too much Army.
All right. As usual, watching too much Army. All right. Southern Miss versus Middle Tennessee State.
Okay.
TSU.
Barry, you want to start it? Let's do a little rotation here.
Bowl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it is, of course, the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
Great.
Of course. Well, Southern Miss, and I'm going to hide myself 25.
Wow.
Wow.
Southern Miss, 16.
Very close. Southern Miss for 17.
Oh, great minds, Phil.
All right. Yep. Hope I'm right.
I mean, whenever Phil and I both need / want something to happen, it goes wrong.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Next up, we got Oregon State versus BYU. the Beavers, the Cougars, in the...
Good question. This is really hard to find. It's not a good system. I don't know where I have them. Hmm. Hold on.
All right, and a date to be determined, the Beavers and the Cougars. I'll go ahead and say I have the Beavers picked.
Okay, I got it.
All right.
It's the Mako Las Vegas Bowl.
All right.
I have... Is it on me?
Yeah.
All right, I have Oregon State with 11 confidence points.
Sorry. I'm not going to lie. I have no confidence in this game at all. I have two.
Wow.
I don't
Who'd
trust
you pick?
Oregon State.
Okay.
Maybe I got this one wrong, but I had Oregon State for 27.
Wow. You have a lot of confidence in Jacquizz and the Rodgers brothers.
Any confidence in BYU's defense.
All right.
Well, I mean, that's fair. I don't know. Those kind of games, they always scare me when you get those. I always fear a Boise. Yeah, clearly me. I fear a Boise at every turn. All right, next up, Utah versus Cal.
Okay, this one is the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
It's good. Who we start with now?
There's one thing that really worries me about this game. It's that we still don't know if Javid Best is going to play. Mm-hmm. So, tempered me a little bit. I went Utah because I don't think he'll play. I'm going Utah for 20.
Wow. See, that's the thing. If Best plays, then I got to take it down, which is what I did. I said Utah 5.
I have Utah 7. I don't feel great about this either.
Yeah.
Notable, we've all picked the same winners.
Yeah,
so far.
This is
so
concerning.
We're
going
to get them all wrong and go 0 for 34.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
All right, this is concerning. We'll move on to a game I really could not have much less interest in. We got Nevada SMU.
Well,
the old
I
Christmas
feel
Eve
better
bowl.
About this game.
Is that right, Gary?
Just go ahead.
Inexplicably, I have a ton of confidence.
I've got Nevada for 33.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have them high. I have Nevada for 27.
I have Nevada for 30. I don't really know a whole lot about
it. It was one
of
the biggest
teams.
Spreads when we picked the spread.
That's right, yeah.
It was like 14 or something like that. So.
Yeah.
SMU, first bowl game in a long time.
Yeah.
New coach, June Jones.
I'm going to say they don't. Oh, that's right. This is the Hawaii Bowl because June Jones is going
that's right.
going
he's
back
going
to
back
his
home.
Old stomping grounds.
There you go.
All right, who's up?
I don't know how I have so many points on this next game.
Do I? So. All right, we got the Marshall Thundering Herd versus the Ohio Bobcats.
Oh, did we get... I'm sorry. Marshall Thundering Herd.
Ohio.
Okay. I know nothing about these two teams for the most part. It's the Little Caesars Bowl.
Okay.
And I took Ohio, and I put 10 points on it.
Yeah, I'm going to need to go back and lower this. I have Ohio for 16.
Okay.
I'm going to have to lower this significantly. I'll probably just trade this with the whatever the other one was before. I have Ohio by 29. That was one of those I probably just did not change.
All right.
I bypassed that one.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
we all like Ohio, though.
We all like Ohio.
We're
all in agreement on every bowl, apparently.
You guys are just upping my confidence by picking the same team I am.
Yeah. Well, you should know if me and Kyle pick something the same.
That is
bad news.
That is a fair point. All right. Next up, we got Pitt versus Carolina.
Okay.
This is the
Meineke Car Care Bowl.
Of course.
Game.
Barry, you want to start?
No.
All right. I'll start. I have Pitt, and I have 19 points on them.
Pitt for 23.
All right. I love Pitt. I have Pitt by 30. That's my most. I have 34 on Pitt.
Wow.
I love Pitt, right. And I hate Carolina.
Carolina's swung some upsets this year. I don't know.
And then lost to teams they shouldn't have lost to. So.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I love Lisa Pitt.
Next game.
All right. Boston College, USC.
Okay. That is the Emerald Bowl.
Yes.
And I have USC with 12 points.
Yeah, a little worried because I don't know how motivated USC will be, but I still think they're just better than Boston College. I have USC for 15.
Well, I think USC is a lot better. I have USC with 28.
Wow.
Enjoy, kids. Here's the thing.
Too many points on a team that might not care for me.
Yeah, I agree. You don't really know.
You may win.
Kyle, they got such good athletes.
Did you see the Boston College linebacker? He's got cancer. They're all playing for him.
Oh, no.
Oh, I mean, he didn't just get cancer.
Spirit Award.
He's had cancer the whole year.
Okay.
And he's not playing.
Oh, no. But
Don't worry.
Okay. But this is still the bowl. This is going to be one of those win one for him games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no.
All right. Anyway.
All right. Yeah. Next up.
We still haven't disagreed on a game. This is outrageous. I can't believe this is happening, especially with Phil in the room.
All right. Next up, we got Kentucky Clemson.
I'm going to say we're all going to have the same winner on this one.
So.
As well. Okay, I went big on this one, although I might end up lowering it. I did Clemson, and I gave him 28.
Once again, I upped you. Clemson by 29.
Well, we are all in a very close range. I have Clemson by 27.
All right, and that was the Gaylord Hotels Music City Bowl.
Of course. Kentucky, good year for them, but they're not going to win a bowl. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's really sad that Clemson wins their division
in
the SEC and falls to this game.
Yeah.
But
they had five losses. They deserved it. Whatever.
All right. Texas A&M versus Georgia.
Couldn't feel worse about this game.
Texas A&M versus Georgia is the Advocare V100 Independence Bowl. That might get the award for most ridiculous name.
Yeah,
there's a number involved. What the heck?
The credit union, the San Diego County Credit Union Bowl, you know, the poinsettia bowl is always up there in terms of ridiculous names. But
Advocare, C is up, V100 Independence Bowl.
I have to learn what that is.
No,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
All right, Phil, start this one off, I guess.
Okay, yeah, good.
I feel really bad about this. I came really close to picking Texas A&M, but I went Georgia, but just six.
All right, well, I have Georgia. Another one I'm going to have to lower here. I have Georgia by 19. That one's going to change.
I'm right with you. Yeah.
Really?
All right, well,
I really like
there's a little theory I've developed over the last few years watching college football, which is always pick the SEC team.
Well, yeah.
I picked against two of them this year, but out of, you know, the nine of them that are in bowl games or whatever. But this was not one of those games. I took Georgia, A&M 6-6. They gave Texas a fight, but I put 18 points on them.
Hmm. All right, right up there with me then. Next up, we have UCLA Temple.
Yeah, not probably going to watch this.
No.
I'm just sitting around doing nothing.
All right, Kyle.
I predict we will have our first split on this one.
Oh, no.
I picked Temple's, and I gave them 5 points.
I went the other way, UCLA for four.
Thank God. All right. Finally got one different.
I had Temple for four.
Well, we all feel very confident about that game. Yeah. You can tell we think that's very up in the air.
A game we're just probably not going to watch and then have no confidence in picking.
How dare you. Al Golden, Temple coach. He's going to get a big job next year.
Is he?
Yeah.
Was he rumored?
I don't know, but like he's like
you
a
just
hot
know he's
young coach. It may take him 2 years. I don't know. But like he's like rumored in like as being like the next one up. You know.
So. Well, he's going to get a bowl win this year. So, and I'm not confident in that at all, but I'll say it. Next up, we got Miami and Wisconsin. Ja'Cory Harris.
Could be an interesting game.
All right. This is the Champ Sports Bowl. I was probably a little too confident in the U after watching the 30 for 30 documentary.
I got so much swag in the U right now.
But I took Miami for 23.
Yeah, right around that. Miami for 22.
Miami for 24.
I couldn't think less of Wisconsin. Obviously, you guys feel the same way. So,
yeah.
There you go.
I mean, Ja'Cory Harris is going to go big here. I'm just going to say it. I'll just say it.
He throws 2 to 3 interceptions per game.
And he only throws one this
Heisman
game.
Heisman contender early in the year.
Yeah.
He's a Heisman winner after the first, like, five games.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Next up, we got Bowling Green and Idaho.
Well, I couldn't know less about these two
teams. Was my one-point game, my one-point confidence game. It is the Roadies Humanitarian Bowl. I took Bowling Green Falcons, and I gave them 1 point.
I went Idaho by two for two.
Okay.
Well, as is customary, I went against the grain. I picked Bowling Green pretty much just by name recognition by 22.
22?
I had to do
something. You definitely have to do this show.
No, I'm going to be altering with the ones that I've talked about. There's some that I'm very confident in.
This is in Boise, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh.
I have no idea. I know the name of the bowl. I don't know where it plays.
Sorry. Not listed in where we're at.
All right. Moving on. A game that will not be on TV. Arizona versus Nebraska on ESPN 360 on December 30th.
It's not on TV. Well, it's on my TV, but I won't be in Gainesville to enjoy it.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right. I took Nebraska, and I went 13 points. I didn't feel great about this game.
Really?
Around the same way. Nebraska by 14.
All right. Sue is going to have like 14 sacks in this game.
At least.
Yeah, give or take. I have Nebraska 21.
All right.
I really like Nebraska.
I can't wait to see what Dale has the low confidence points on.
It's going to be the big game. Yeah.
I'm afraid to go big.
All right.
All right. Up next, we got a
Houston. That was the Pacific Life Holiday Bowl. Did we get that in there?
No, we did not.
Okay,
no.
we did.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right, Houston versus Air Force.
What I said my favorite bowl matchup, actually. Non-BCS bowl matchup.
Want to kick it off then, Phil?
Yeah. You got pass happy Houston, run happy Air Force. I have Houston for 21.
Wow.
I have Houston for 26. I think Case
Keenum
just throws.
I don't believe
in
Air Force's defense.
No, yeah. Against Case Keenum, he's going to throw for like 1,000 yards.
This is one of those where, all right, it's the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl. And I, too, have Houston, but I don't know. Air Force went 7-5 in the Mountain West. That's, you know, a decent conference. So, whatever. I said Houston by 8. I only gave him 8 points.
Okay, but we all have Houston still. All right, moving on to this next one, Oklahoma versus Stanford. Do we ever resolve the Stanford starting backup quarterback debate?
Andrew Luck will not start. Andrew Luck, who started for Stanford during the season, will not start this game.
Okay.
But that's all that was said. Not that he'll necessarily sit out. He's recovering from wrist surgery, I believe.
I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. Don't feel great.
No, I have very little confidence in this one.
Gerhardt.
Yeah, they do.
And I do believe that Oklahoma
is not very good. Oh. I got Stanford for 9.
Mm. I have Stanford for 3. The luck not starting thing scares the life out of me.
Stanford for 6.
Oh, wow.
So, if we all had any money, we'd probably bet on this because Stanford's getting, what,
8.5
yeah.
points.
Yeah.
But I know not to bet on 8.5 point underdogs against Oklahoma.
That's right. You learned that lesson the hard way.
Yes.
All right. Next up, Navy versus Missouri.
Did we get which bowl name that was? That was the Brute Sun Bowl.
Oh,
the Stanford Oklahoma.
Yes.
Nice.
That's right.
Nice. All right. What's Navy Missouri? What are we looking at here?
Okay. Navy Missouri is the Texas Bowl.
Great sure.
name. Whatever. I really went back and forth on this one. I ultimately settled on Missouri, but I only did 2 confidence points.
Yeah, I went back and forth. Maybe a little favoritism. Really like Ricky Dobbs. But I do worry about a team that has a month to prepare, or a couple weeks at least to prepare for triple option.
I thought about that.
But went Navy for 5.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, I was so middle of the road on this one that I don't even know if I changed the confidence points. I went Missouri 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to win big, lose big here, Phil.
Yeah, I guess so.
I almost went with Navy, but how they played against Army left a bad taste
in my concerning.
Mouth. They won that game, but it certainly wasn't pretty.
No.
So,
no.
All right.
Next up, Minnesota versus Iowa State.
Okay. On NFL Network.
On the NFL Network.
This is the Insight Bowl.
Sure.
I took Minnesota, and I put 9 confidence points on it.
Well, I couldn't know anything less about this.
All right, Decker.
Iowa State for 1.
Wow. That truly shows that you couldn't care less about that game. Minnesota by 17. I don't know, man.
Did you even mess with the confidence points?
I did.
This is incredible, babe. Yeah. All right.
Not my most impressive showing. Next up, do we get the bowl on that one?
Yeah,
that
was the Insight Bowl.
All right, next up, Virginia Tech, Tennessee.
Okay. This is the ultimate put the theory to the test game. I took Tennessee. I only put 3 points on them, but I'm taking Tennessee.
Yeah, this was really hard for me. I went, the exact same thing, actually.
Wow.
Tennessee for 3.
Jeez.
Well, I'm here to break the trend. I have an irrational love for Tennessee.
Oh, no.
You all know this very well.
16.
16? By the way.
All right.
One last tidbit about the Minnesota game.
Oh, no.
You are aware that Eric Decker is not playing.
No.
No, I was not.
Not aware of that.
He was lost midway through the season.
Oh, good to know.
Great.
I thought that. I wanted to confirm it before I looked like an absolute
fool. I'm guessing it was a season. He's not back. He can't make it back.
They ranked last in the Big Ten in offense.
Well, Iowa State it is.
Departure.
Great. Well, whatever. I'll still stick with my pick. I think Minnesota's better.
I likely will not. Going up next, Northwestern Auburn.
I couldn't feel better about this game.
I can't find it right now. Somebody else start.
Okay. Gags. I'm pretty sure it's the Outback Bowl in Tampa.
It is the Outback Bowl.
Because it's at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Inexplicably.
I've got Auburn for 32.
Wow.
Feel big about this game.
Whoa.
I'd be shocked if Auburn lost.
That's
insane. I think Auburn's going to win as well. I have 15. I'm middle of the road. I'll probably go back and change that with the Iowa State.
I went high on them. I went 20. I took Auburn for 20. But Northwestern's not a total joke.
Well, Auburn's going to run all over.
I have 3 games. My 32, 33, and 34. If they lost... Shocked. I don't know what I would do,
right,
but something outrageous.
Be prepared.
All right. Next up, we got West Virginia versus Florida State in the Bobby Bowden Bowl.
This game worries me.
Well,
I believe this is the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, it is the Conica Minolta Gator Bowl. I don't know what the heck the first part of that is, but that's the official name. I kept trying to talk myself out of doing this, but I couldn't. Unfortunately, I watched Florida State play,
and
that
hurt
image
you.
Just burned into my mind. I went 34 points on West Virginia.
Wow.
They shouldn't have been in this game anyway. The only reason they're in this game is because it's Bobby Bowden's last game.
I definitely agree, and I wanted to put West Virginia even higher than I had them, but something about the emotion, last game, want to send them out a win.
I tried to talk myself out of it with that logic, and I couldn't do it. They
I
have EJ
only
Manning.
Got to West Virginia for 25.
See, this is one that'll go higher for me. FSU's a joke. I don't think I changed any of the last 5 confidence points. I had West Virginia by 14.
All right.
You just switched the last 5 I've done. Put West Virginia for 18, and then going backwards, Auburn by 17. Tennessee stays at 16 for me. Next up, Penn State, LSU, the Capital One Bowl.
All right. Well, this is a game that initially I was very confident about, and I just kept moving it down as I talked myself out of it more and more. But I picked Penn State, and I gave them 15 points.
Wow.
Yeah, don't really feel great about this. kind of just went SEC. You know, I was a little my boy Les Miles. Got a month to develop.
Worst coach ever.
Yeah. Worst coach ever in always, the history
always,
of football.
Always love the worst coach ever.
Yep, that's what I like to do.
Yeah,
I got probably. LSU for 12.
All right. Once again, going against the grain. Let me explain myself here. Kyle, I've strongly subscribed to your theory about you don't pick against SEC schools, right? Right. However, I've seen LSU just crap away a game in the worst way ever.
Yep.
So I think Penn State is going to win, but it goes so strongly against picking against SEC schools that I dropped a one on this one.
Okay, that's fine. Right, that's... I'm totally with that. Yeah. I might drop it down more, too.
Yeah.
The SEC schools just always seem to win, but
they do.
They can't win every game.
Yeah.
There's a couple that are going to lose, and I hate LSU.
And
their offense sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm taking Penn State.
Whatever. Yeah. I think Penn State's better, but the SEC thing just scares me.
All right.
All right, so Ohio State, Oregon.
All right. This is way up towards the top for me. Mm. I love the Ducks. Love the Ducks all year. Not going to stop loving the Ducks now. I have Oregon. I put 30 points on it.
This is, again, one of the games that I said I'll be shocked if I don't get it right. I'll just quit watching Ball Mania. Just give up for the year.
I hope
Oregon
you have 34.
For 34.
Oh, he did it. He did it.
There it is.
All right. I have Oregon by 13. I have no doubt Oregon's going to win, but Ohio State's, I don't know, man. Terrell Pryor's got to come back and redeem himself in my eyes as a Heisman candidate.
He's not good. He's not a good quarterback.
Believe me, I've been there. I wanted to believe you. Joe Burrow was good. It's been beaten out of me.
All right. All right, next up, the one the listeners probably care the most about, Florida-Cincinnati in the Sugar Bowl.
The one we care the least about.
This game is worried just about, like, who cares. And
all right.
I don't care.
The official
personally.
Name of this game is the All-State Apathy Bowl.
That's right.
I don't know where to put this game.
I have to drop this.
I'm going to drop it, too. It's too high. I have Florida by 17 right now, and it's going to come down.
Mine's definitely going to. I have Florida for 28.
Wow.
It was one of those, like, I'm just ranking games.
There was a point in the night last night where I tried to talk myself hard into Cincinnati. Like, the players are just going to be so fired up.
I can't do it.
I don't know, man.
I thought about doing, like, a Cincinnati with two, but I'm pretty happy where I had this one.
Florida for 11.
I'm pretty happy with where that one landed.
There's so many garbage bowls that kept pushing this game.
Yeah.
And there's so many factors in this game that just throw it every which way. So. Yeah.
All right, well, next up, we got USF versus Northern Illinois.
In the International Bowl.
Played in Canada.
Toronto in the Rogers Center.
In the snow, right, Phil?
No, in the dome. Jim Leavitt may or may not still be coaching the Bulls by then.
Yeah, this game scares the crap out of me just for that reason.
Northern Illinois is so bad, though.
I said...
Coach hit a guy.
USF, and I gave him 25.
Wow.
USF 19.
All right. Well, never take a team whose coach is punching his players in the face. Northern Illinois, 10.
Well,
whoa.
ESPN's Jesse Palmer
put them as 34. He took USF and gave them the most confidence points.
You can't do that for
so
any
it's
coach.
You against Jesse Palmer.
I like my odds.
All right. Fair enough.
Jeez. 30. That's ridiculous. All right. South Carolina, UConn.
South Carolina, UConn. Okay, it's the PapaJohns.com Bowl. I took the Gamecocks. This is the classic
SEC
beats the crap out of the Big East game. 21 points for the Gamecocks.
Mm.
26 for South Carolina for me.
Wow, I have South Carolina 12.
All right.
I died.
They already did that.
They proved they can lose off the death.
Yeah. They got to win the bowl game for him, man.
They already got the
Notre Dame was the game for him.
They couldn't beat the next one. Like, the game that came after that was West Virginia off the death. They lost.
The emotion
was unbelievable. They lost 3 in a row after the death, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I mean, the death obviously didn't have the impact we all expected. So
it had too much impact.
Yeah. All right, next up, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss.
The Cotton Bowl that's not played in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
The AT&T Cotton Bowl.
Played in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
This is another classic take the SEC school game. We saw it last year when Ole Miss beat a Texas Tech team that was supposedly awesome. So, I took Ole Miss again. I feel like they've been playing better down the stretch. I gave them 14 points.
Yeah. Phil? This one I would kind of toss a little bit. I mean, I knew I wanted to go Ole Miss. I knew where to put them. I ended up at 8.
Oh, all right. Well, I took Ole Miss by 9.
All right.
I think Oklahoma State can do a lot on offense, but I think Dexter McCluster is just going to tear it up against the Cowboys defense.
Agreed.
Next up, Arkansas, ECU.
Okay. I know I put a lot on this game.
I should have put a
lot
on
this. This is the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. This is another classic take the SEC school. They're going to beat the crap out of Mike McCall's Pirates game. Yeah. Arkansas, I give him 29 points.
Yeah.
Well, that's 29 points you're not getting, Kyle.
Oh, no.
You did not.
ECU.
No, you did not.
For 13.
Do you just have to be consistent? You just don't want to back down? Phil picked ECU when we did the lines.
He picked the
lines. He picked ECU minus three or something like that.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to be consistent. I just feel this
ECU,
way about ECU.
And you gave him 13 points.
13 conference points.
What is the matter with you?
Well, I'm
everything.
Yeah.
I'm right, somewhere in between you two. I said Arkansas by 8. I think Arkansas definitely wins. That's one I'll probably bump up. I think Ryan Mallett throws all over the field.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
God, you took ECU for 13.
It may come down to like 10-ish. Oh, this couple games.
God. Yeah, might bump it down 3 spots. Oh, okay.
All right. Next up, Michigan State, Texas Tech.
Michigan State is a program in disarray.
This is the Valero Alamo Bowl.
Gotta like Texas Tech in the Alamo Bowl, right?
You gotta like Texas Tech in the Alamo Bowl. Michigan State had a bunch of starters suspended.
Yeah.
Their coach is like on the way out or already fired. I don't know. This whole thing's going to heck for them. So, Texas Tech, I gave him 32 points.
Wow. 31 here.
I have 20. Right. Yeah, Texas Tech's gonna run away with that one in the Alamo Bowl.
The next game.
The game. I almost want to save this one for last, like the national championship. Boise State, TCU.
Well, Adam, you'd be surprised, because there was an ESPN college football analyst that picked TCU for 34 points.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. Let's put 34 confidence points against an undefeated team.
Yep.
Let's do it.
He's so sure. There's no game he's more sure of. Of course, that guy also picked Iowa for 25.
That's something I couldn't. Like,
no,
I couldn't.
Jesse Palmer didn't.
Oh,
wasn't the TCU person.
Okay.
Jesse Palmer put his 34 on USF.
Oh, and he
this was Ed, whatever his name was. Yeah. I don't know who he is, but he put 34 points on TCU. Okay. Anyway.
All right, what are we all putting on Boise State
and
TCU?
Oh, and he had 33 on Oklahoma, I'm pretty. Isn't that the same guy?
I don't remember. One of them at Oklahoma way up there, though. All right. Phil, you want to start this one?
I have the Horned Frogs, just 7. Don't really feel great.
All right.
Opposite side, Boise State by 7.
How about that?
And I, of course, taking the Broncos, Boise State by 4.
Nice. All right, we're all in the very much the same
atmosphere. For 4 confidence points.
Yeah. Next up, Iowa, Georgia Tech.
Okay, well, I think Iowa is the crappiest team I've ever seen.
Ever.
They've won all their games by, like, fluky, like, late last second, win by 3 games. I think Georgia Tech's legitimately good. They're also probably 300 times as fast as Iowa. With all that said, I will certainly upset them, but I'm going to take Georgia Tech, and I'm going to give them 33 confidence points.
Wow. That's a little bit. Iowa's defense, I think, is decent, but you're right. I think Georgia Tech will run for like 10,000 yards.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech for 24.
Wow, I'm significantly lower than both of you. I think Iowa slows them down. Doesn't win, but I have Georgia Tech by 6.
Okay. Iowa's the crappiest team in the country. I hate them. Seriously, they're the worst 10-2 team of all time.
I mean, you know Iowa just won right then. That moment.
Yep.
Yeah. You just said that.
It's fine.
Yeah, I might go change my pick
Screw
to Iowa,
Iowa
by 34.
They suck. Ricky Stanzi's horrible.
All right, next up. Game before the game, Central Michigan versus Troy.
Glad this is the second to last bowl game.
This is the GMAC Bowl.
I don't know why I did this. This is unbelievable. I might switch these last two.
All right. Well, I took the chips. And I gave him 31 confidence points.
Whoa! Wow.
I did the same exact thing.
There you go.
I have chips by 31.
I don't nearly feel that good. I feel like Troy is pretty athletic. A little worried about that. I got Central Michigan but by 11.
Well, I think Central Michigan might play in a better conference, and they easily have the best player on the field. So, whatever. Chips.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah,
we will see what happens.
That's the beauty of college football.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Didn't you pick Troy?
No, I picked Central Michigan.
Oh, some way.
We'll just see how close it is.
Well, yeah, that matters.
You know, right. Central Michigan wins by a bunch. You'd be like, who put 11 confidence points on that one? All right, and the national championship, Texas, Alabama, go.
Okay, well, at various points in the night last night, I had to talk myself out of putting 34 confidence points on Alabama because I didn't want to break my outrage that I had with the other guy. I don't want to put all my confidence points against an undefeated team. But I can't really feel any better about Alabama winning. 26 points for the Crimson Tide.
That's good.
Yeah, I just worry. This seems like a lock. It's a lock that worries me, though. I think of, like, USC being a lock.
Yeah.
Being Vince Young. But Texas is not that good, and Alabama is pretty good. Got Alabama for 10.
I have Alabama for 23.
All right.
I like you said, there is a chance, you know, Colt McCoy pulls a Vince Young in this game, but he's
I actually think there's no chance of that. I think Texas's only chance is if Texas defense steps up and they beat them like 17-14. Like,
they won't.
We've watched Texas's offense struggle too many times this season, I think.
I mean, we watched Texas defense look like just lay an egg against, what was it, A&M on Thanksgiving night. So that puts...
Well, then I have no confidence in them whatsoever, which is why I have 26 points in Alabama. But I think their only chance is if their defense steps up.
Did you guys see the tiebreaker for this?
I did.
Yes.
Of course.
Do you want to go ahead and reveal these?
Sure.
I mean, I feel terrible about this. I hope it doesn't come down to this.
Yeah.
I'll probably change it. I have 31-28.
Wow.
Close. Really close. You took Alabama 31-28?
I have Alabama 35-17, not too far off from how they beat Florida.
Okay. I have Alabama 27-17. Nice 10-point cushion, just like last year.
All right, and to wrap this segment up, we're going to go through the three games that we have the most confidence in and the three that we have the least, just to sort of recap and put a nice ending on all this. We'll start with Kegler.
Okay, my top three. I've got 34 points on Oregon over Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, 33 points on Nevada over SMU in the Hawaii Bowl, and 32 points on Auburn over the Outback Bowl.
Auburn
over Northwestern in the Outback Bowl. Bottom three, I have 1 point on Iowa State over Minnesota in the Insight Bowl, 2 points on Idaho over Bowling Green in the Humanitarian Bowl, and 3 points on Tennessee over VT in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Yeah, our bottoms are very close.
So little faith in Lane Kiffin, Phil. Kyle, do you want to go ahead and do yours then?
Sure. My top three are West Virginia over Florida State, Georgia Tech over Iowa, and Texas Tech over Michigan State in that order. And then reverse from the bottom, 1, 2, and 3, I have Bowling Green over Idaho, Missouri over Navy, and then Tennessee over Virginia Tech.
All right. And my top three, I got Pitt over Carolina at 34, inexplicably Fresno State over Wyoming at 33, and once again, inexplicably Rutgers over UCF at 32. Then my bottom three, in order of most confidence to least confidence, Stanford over Oklahoma by 3. Where's my second? Oregon State over BYU 2, and then Penn State over LSU by 1. So that was our fun little pick 'em. Send any feedback you have on that to our email. We'll definitely definitely read those. And if you want to insult me viciously for my lack of confidence, feel free. I have no confidence in myself either. We're going to move on. Back by popular demand. You listeners demanded it. Unexpectedly, more than I thought, but we got Gators in the NFL. Let's just go ahead and give a sort of a season recap thus far as to what some guys have done. I don't have the weekly stats, but I figured it's been so long since we've done this that we can go a little more long term here. Percy Harvin, certainly the guy most worth talking about, former Florida receiver. He's got 48 receptions, 681 receiving yards, long of 51, 6 touchdowns, 13 rushes, 113 yards, averaging 9 yards a carry when he does get the ball. Doing it all for the Vikings, despite the fact that Chris Collinsworth will tell you that he was a running back in college. I want to say I saw a stat that Percy Harvin is getting some inexplicable amount of looks on third down from Brett Favre. Like, he is Brett Favre's third down guy when he comes in there in the slot. So Percy definitely making a name for himself in the NFL, doing very well. Next up, Lewis Murphy, his fellow former receiver, has got 24 receptions, 419 yards, long of 75, and 4 touchdowns. He had that one game where he had the 2 touchdowns, right? That pretty much brought the Raiders back. That was a big game for Murph.
Yeah, over the Steelers,
over the Steelers, that's right, which was just part of the Steelers' gradual downfall, yeah. Next up, on the defensive side of the ball, Alex Brown, 39 tackles, 29 solo, 4 sacks. That's UF single-season sack record holder, Alex Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing fairly well in the NFL. Another receiver, Andre Caldwell, who was not on our all-decade team, 43 receptions, 388 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's kind of tapered off since the beginning of the year. I remember at one point at the beginning of the year, he was, let's go get him on your fantasy team. Which,
he was their fourth quarter guy for a little while.
That's right, yeah, mm-hmm. Which I may or may not have done in terms of picking him up on my fantasy team and then had to drop him because he came back down to earth. Next up, Channing Crowder, linebacker, 47 tackles, 1 sack on the year. Andre Davis, another linebacker, 72 tackles, 54 solo, 3.5 sacks. Pretty good year for him. Bar Gaffney, all-decade receiver, 32 receptions, 442 receiving yards, no touchdowns, despite the touchdown machine he was at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Harvey, 44 tackles, 2 sacks. Reggie Nelson, who we named our award for, 61 tackles, 56 solo. Mike Peterson, 87 tackles, 68 solo, 19 assists, 1 sack, 2 forced fumbles, and an interception. Big year for Peterson and Brandon Seiler. They're all-decade guy, 55 tackles, 2 sacks on the year.
Made a bunch of plays this week.
Absolutely, yeah. So big year for some of those Gators in the NFL. We'll check back on some of them as the season approaches its end in these next couple of weeks. So we will be doing that, especially at the end of the semester, beginning of the new year. We can sort of look back on the seasons they had as a whole. All right, and to wrap up this show, we're going to give out our decade-long Reggie Nelson Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport and Kyle Jackson Bad Angles of the Week. We're going to go back to the last 10 years, Florida sports, and give out the awards based on that. Phil, let's start with your Kyle.
My Kyle is going to the defense in the 2009 SEC Championship game. I know it's really recent, so I hate to do it, but I was trying to rack my brain for a unit or a team that failed so miserably when it had been so hyped all year, and nothing else came except for that defense in that game.
All right.
No excuses.
All right, I will give my Kyle to a person who failed perhaps as spectacularly as Florida's defense did in the SEC Championship game, the one and only Ron Zook. Everybody needs no further explanation. Kyle, you got a Kyle?
All right. Well, I'm going to reach for one here. Going to reach for one big time. I'm going to give mine to the gymnastics team because every year they're in the Final Eight or whatever it's called.
Super Six.
Whatever. Whatever the gymnastics thing is. And they never win. Like, I don't know how many years in a row it's been now, but it's been quite a few. Georgia and Utah seem to win every time. It's been particular Georgia.
Five-time defending champs.
Melanie Sinclair just capped the decade with an arrest, with a really weird arrest. So, yeah. Gymnastics team, a little harsh. We never talk about you, except when I'm giving my decade-long Kyle Jackson.
That's a black eye on the program right there. All right, Phil, well, Reggie.
This is a late last-second change here.
We should almost just do this one last. Go ahead.
My Reggie goes to the man who built UF Athletics, Jeremy Foley.
I knew it.
You knew that was coming, right? Yeah. Any further explanation, Phil? He just
none needed.
Yeah.
None needed. He does it all the time. All he does is hire winning coaches.
Yep.
All right. You get two yeps for that one, Phil. All right, mine's going to go to Billy Donovan, not just for the back-to-back national championships, but for building the program and starting off the decade strong in 2000, you know, when the decade started, Phil, with the national title game run. And then, you know, built the program up to the back-to-back titles and then had a couple down years, stayed strong through that, didn't actually leave. He definitely thought about leaving, stayed at Florida. It looks like he's getting the program back on track. Got to give it to Billy Donovan for that. Kyle, bring us home.
I'm between two. One is an easy one for me. I'll give them both.
Okay.
One's very easy for me to give. It's Phil's one that he abandoned. I'm just going to give it to the 04 class, though, not just the 06, 07 team.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give it to, you know, Brewer, Horford, Noah, Torian Green came on in. Won 2 championships.
Feels unloved.
Well, he wasn't actually an 04, although he was on the starting lineup. I do love Lee Humphrey. He was my favorite player on this team. Al Horford, I don't know. Yeah. They're 1 and 1A for me. Anyway, I give them, that was the easy one, the one I feel good about. The one I don't like to give is Urban Meyer. Yeah. Urban Meyer's kind of got to get it. No, he's the coach of the decade.
Tim Tebow.
He ticks me off quite a bit, but you can't deny the success that he's had here and what he's been able to do with the program. Yeah. So, Urban Meyer, take my Reggie Nelson.
We'll give you this one, Urban.
Yeah.
You've won this one,
Urban.
We'll see you next decade. See what you have to say then. All right, that wraps it up for this show, this decade retrospective. Send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. We'll probably have 2 shows in the next 2 weeks, some a little different. We're going to be going all our separate ways, Christmas break here. We would hope that you are looking forward to bigger and better things than our podcast during your Christmas holiday. So check back with us. We'll have something a little special for you, and definitely check back with us in the new year. So thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry!